Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Fu Wunping, the Managing Editor of the Asian Banker. I'm pleased to welcome you to another teleconsultation session. Today, we're addressing issues on customer engagement in the new digital and mobile-enabled world. I'm very pleased that we have assembled a highly experienced panel of speakers and presenters this afternoon. They will present the topic from the research, business, technology, as well as practitioners' perspective. Before we start, allow me to take us back a step to look at how the banking landscape has evolved over the recent past, especially post-global financial crisis, which has seen increased regulatory control, as well as the macro environment, which is marked by global quantitative easing, continuing economic uncertainties, and market volatility. While retail financial services remain one of the key contributors to banks' revenue and profits, sustainable growth is becoming increasingly difficult in an increasingly challenging operating environment. Growth in retail banking income slowed significantly in the post-financial crisis years. Although signs of stronger growth suggesting a recovery in profitability were evident in 2012, the prospect of that being sustained appears short-lived amidst indication of harsher operating conditions in 2013. Brought about by increased regulatory measures to avert asset price bubble, especially in the housing sector in some of the more mature markets, as well as to curb increasing household and individual debts. This is exacerbated by the continuing low interest rate and low yield condition precipitated by global quantitative easing. Banks in the region have been busy adjusting to these new realities, transforming their business in the pursuit of more sustainable growth. Many have started the process in the last few years, and today stand poised with new business structures and capabilities. The more progressive of these banks have become more efficient and integrated in their operations, processes, technology, and people management. They have improved their risk and capital management, put greater focus on understanding their customers, and delivering on product quality and service excellence. More banks than ever are making the customer-centric proposition a part of their retail strategy and operations, creating robust analytical capabilities for more effective customer relationship management, innovating in digital and mobile channels, and putting a renewed focus on the branch of the future, not in isolation, but in the context of the evolving digitalization of financial services. The fruits of many of this transformation initiative and journeys can be found in the submission to the Asian Banker Excellence in Retail Financial Services Awards program, which tracks, evaluates, recognizes, and celebrates with the industry their outstanding achievement across the retail banking landscape in Asia Pacific. Now in its 12th year, the program received close to 400 submissions across 35 country awards, 16 products awards, and 5 special practice awards categories. It has been growing ever stronger. The thorough evaluation process, overseen by independent and respected international panel of advisors, make the Excellence Program the most coveted award program in the retail banking industry today. It has also enabled the Asian Banker to build a very strong repository of data that we share with the industry in sessions just like what we are having now. So back to today's topic. To give us a research perspective on what banks are doing in the new digital and mobile-enabled world, we are very pleased to have Carol Whitcroft, the Asian Banker Associate Director of Research, who oversees our research in the technology and operations area. Carol has over 15 years of experience in delivering financial services-related research. She made her first foray into technology-related research with Blore Research, an IT advisory consultancy, and she has also become an industry analyst with Tower Group, where she collaborated with a group of US analysts researching global retail banking technology. In her presentation, Carol will share key findings from the Excellence Awards program on how banks are engaging customers in the new digital and mobile-enabled world. Her presentation will be based on evaluation of 160 banks in more than 30 countries across Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. She will present analysis of major trends and developments in digital banking and customer experience. Next to present will be someone from the banking industry. We will take a bank practitioner's perspective. We are pleased to have Tan Soo Kia. She's the Head of Process and Project Management at ABN AMRO Private Bank. Soo Kia has more than 12 years of banking experience in process improvement projects, IT operations, in both consumer as well as private banking. And she has been involved in the setup of new business lines, departments, as well as design and implementation of new system and platform. Soo Kia will present a specific case study of ABN AMRO's implementation of its CRM system that allows it to engage customers more effectively in the new digital environment. She will talk about the focus area of the project as well as the critical factors for success. And finally, we have Albert Fisher. He's the CRM lead for Asia Pacific at Microsoft. Albert has more than 16 years of experience in sales, business development, and marketing with some of the world's most prestigious IT companies, including Microsoft. He will present the business case and business drivers for a multi-channel customer engagement platform. He will share with us the challenges and opportunities that he sees in his conversation with banks. And this will be followed by a Q&A session where we'll continue to explore the topic. Now, let me introduce our Carol, and Carol will start her presentation on this topic. Carol?
Thank you very much, Boonping. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining this teleconference. I have to confess I'm operating slightly blindly here. I'm actually unable to see the slides, so bear with me as I talk our people in the back office to help me through this. So I'd like to move to the agenda slide, please. Okay, it's all working now, thank you. Right, today we're asking what's changing in this new digital and mobile-enabled world and how banks are responding. I'm going to draw on research and examples that we obtain through our excellence program, and then I'll share some examples of things banks are doing today with you. So if I could have the next slide, please. Okay, so how are banks responding in this world? Let me explain to you what we do with the Asian Banker Excellence Program, which has been running for about 12 years now. We assess and identify retail banks that demonstrate a sustainable and profitable franchise based on sound processes and infrastructure capabilities. This slide shows how we assess banks across the region. We go right across the region, across most countries, and pick on the major banks in each country. And this slide shows how we draw up a balanced scorecard for each bank based on 10 weighted criteria that you can see here. And over time, we've been able to learn a great deal from doing this and have picked up trends that obviously generates a lot of the information that we use. So if we go on to the next slide, please. Okay, now just to add some more context, we do believe that banks move through four phases as they develop, starting from a product phase as the market opens up in each country. But as pressure from margins builds, banks then move into a sales phase and then onto a market share phase before finally they move into the fourth stage, the relationship focus. We believe that most banks in the region are at the market share focus at the minute. And here we start to see unbridled price wars, undercutting, and irrationality. And this is brought about by cheaper forms of distribution where the bank becomes more easily accessible and convenient to the consumer. Obviously, this causes even more pressure on margins to the point where you start to move into the fourth phase where banks really do start to address their business models and look for new models. As the market becomes highly competitive. And there we start to see the emergence of banks seeking a much more relationship focus with their customers. And that really does bring into play the digital and mobile technology. Anyway, this is particularly true in the more developed markets such as Singapore, Hong Kong, South Korea, and Australia. Could you move me to the next slide, please? When we look at the submissions we've received to the Excellence Program over the years, it gives us an indicative evidence of emerging trends. So what have we been seeing? In 2010-11, there was still a lot of product focus, but channel changes that drive up to a market share focus were beginning to show. By 2011-2012, the clear market focus emerged, and you can see that by the number of submissions around channel. And this year, 2012-13, we really did begin to see a move towards a relationship focus from the submissions. We've had a lot of submissions about branch innovation and integrating the branch experience with the wider lifestyle experience, which I'll talk a little bit more shortly. And there's also been a big rise in the number of submissions about innovations using social media. So if you could move to the next slide, please. Next slide, please. Thank you. Looking at how banks try to develop a relationship focus with their customers, we do believe the branch is a good place to look. And this data comes from another piece of Asian Banker research, looking at how banks were using their branches. Here we see many banks seeking to integrate the branch banking experience with the one customers are more used to when they're using their electronic channels. And the research found that banks are deploying concept at branches, you know, centered around, you know, retail, lifestyle, and digital experience, not only using zoning techniques, but also arming branch staff with mobile technology, such as tablet PCs, and making much more innovative customer self-help technology available. The emergence of smart branches, often targeted at a younger demographic, is an example of the high end of this type of innovation. So if you could give me the next slide, please. This shows an actual branch concept, an actual smart branch concept. This is DBS's Remix branch at NUS in Singapore. And it shows digital and mobile-enabled technologies in use and how customers are interacting differently with their branches as a result of the technology. So if you look on the right-hand side, you can see customers are using what are normally considered traditional channels for self-service, such as ATMs, deposit accepting machinery, et cetera. But on the left-hand side, there's clear evidence of use of, you know, digital and mobile technologies. And here you're seeing, in fact, Microsoft's Pixel Sense being deployed to better manage the customer experience and offer more convenience. Here DBS is actually managing the customer perception of waiting times by offering browsing material in the form of e-brochures, where you see those info signs that the customers can interact with. They're also managing queuing through an EQ system at the end there, where I believe customers, you know, can take a ticket and, you know, even leave the branch if they want to, but they'll get an SMS to say that, you know, their place in the queue's come up. Not shown here is how there's no longer a need for a branch sales representative to push brochures to the customer. It doesn't need to be a print world anymore. The reps can pull up and show the information to multiple parties and solicit responses and email material, either using iPads or, in fact, in this branch, there's a 40-inch tabletop system, again using Microsoft Pixel Sense, where a rep can sit and discuss items with a customer and pull up the information instantly. So banks are using these new technologies to make life more convenient for their customers. If you could move on to the next slide, please. But the new digital and mobile enabled technologies are having a major impact outside the branch too. And again, the 2012-13 Excellence Program threw up several examples of banks using these technologies to offer innovative services to their customers, and to make sure they stayed engaged as much as possible. So here we have, you know, Hana Bank, actually that was a mobile wallet initiative, Cookman Bank was a smart branch, another smart branch example. Standard Chartered in Singapore are offering the customer the convenience of an all-in-one credit debit ATM card with an embedded security token that generates a one-time password, so taking care of the security angle too. Westpac introduced a service that allows small business merchants to process card payments, allowing these small operators to receive payments for jobs processed on the go and keep track of their payments, you know, via the iPhone. For Alliance Bank in Malaysia, in the SME banking space, they've introduced a new CRM system combining customer analytics to help manage the offers and service products offers it makes to small and micro SME customers. And then finally, another DBS initiative. They're offering rewards through iPhone and Android phones. This program was initially online, but because of new technology availability since 2012, they've been able to offer this to as a mobile solution. You know, so as a customer perhaps is interacting with the bank, they're able to send them something much more immediately to their phones. So if we could turn to the final slide, please. So in summary, the new digital and mobile enabled world is really changing the game. It is no longer just enough for banks to help their customers by deploying the right integrated channel mix. Leading banks are now finding ways to take the bank to the customer and be present where their customers naturally interact, exactly as many of the examples I showed to you from amongst banks on the previous slide. That's what they were doing. Anyway, thank you very much for your time, and I'd like to hand you back to Boonping.
Right. Thanks, Carol, for the excellent presentation. Before we move to Sukhin, just one question for you, Carol. You mentioned smart branches. Now, what do you see as the role of physical branches in this new digital environment? How will it evolve in a multi-channel environment?
Well, I do certainly think the branch is here to stay, and certainly through the medium term. But clearly, in the more developed markets, you know, banks are having to experiment with new ideas, you know, to bring in new customer segments, for example. So you are seeing certainly the emergence of things like smart branches. I think as we go forward, you know, banks will continue to experiment, and the branch will very much remain as, you know, the face-to-face contact for customers. I mean, those that don't want face-to-face will have other options going forward, but I definitely think the branch is going to remain very important.
Okay, thanks, Carol. Okay, next we have Sukhya to make a presentation based on the case study of ABN Private Bank's CRM approach. Now, obviously, being a private bank, ABN operate, should we say, a more traditional RM-based customer engagement model. Now, Sukhya will share with us how the evolution in digital technology has impacted ABN's CRM approach. Sukhya?
Thanks, Boonping. A very good afternoon to everyone. Okay, technology is allowing us to bring a lot of experience to life. Digital and mobile and mobile world is really important as it is an alternative channel to help the banks in improving the customer experiences, create better accessibility and connectivity. I will share with you three key topics in my presentation today. Next slide, please. Okay. Firstly, I will bring you through the focus areas from ABN AMRO Bank's perspective in shortlisting the initiatives and projects related to digital and mobile-enabled landscape for client engagement. Secondly, I will share also a case study on our successful implementation last year, and lastly, the challenges that we face along our project cycle from the planning stage throughout the implementation and the post-implementation stage. Next slide, please. Okay, if we take a look at this current slide, there are five key areas which ABN AMRO Asia is focusing on. From the right-hand side, we emphasize both the internal and external client engagement in selecting our projects and initiatives. Via the Bring Your Own Devices, we enable our email application using mobile as well as a tablet. Virtual desktop is also made available for staff to easily access to their desktop. This enables our internal clients to provide enhanced services to clients. Yeah? We use video conferencing a lot and widely for internal and external communication, meetings and discussions. At the same time, the iPad applications and online banking are both e-channels for clients to reach out important and useful information online instantly and anywhere. And the most importantly, we started building our CRM system using Microsoft Dynamics 4 years ago. It is glad that we have successfully implemented the system to all Asia countries, including Singapore, Hong Kong, and Dubai. I would say that the CRM platform is essential and important for the bank's customer engagement strategy. CRM has the capabilities to create an overview of the customers. This view itself of the customers is the heart of the relationship management, especially for private banking. We focus in enhancing and deepening the relationship with our high net worth clients. It helps and improves the way our relationship managers in engaging clients today. There are many functionalities built and enhanced in CRM system to help our RMs in providing better customer services. We have the client onboarding processes, client request processes, risk profiling, dashboard, and reporting. Okay, we will move to the next slide. Okay, on this slide, I would like to share with you one of our successful implementation. It is our iPad research application. If you take a look at the left-hand side, which shows our existing workflow, you can see that the research information was made available via our intranet. It is based on the RM's initiative to retrieve the relevant information to distribute or share it with clients according to clients' appetite. If we take a look at the enhanced processes on the right-hand side, you could see with the iPad application, the multi-dimensional communication established. Clients and our relationship managers are able to access to the research information via iPad anywhere, anytime. We receive great feedback and very good response from our clients. They're happy to be able to access the first-hand data directly via the app. Clients are able to also set favorites via the app on their interested topics as well as the products. It creates more opportunities, especially for our RM and investment advisory to discuss with clients on their portfolio investments. In the next slide, I will show you how the look and feel of our application. Yeah. This is the biggest advantage of having an application via tablet. It is standardized and simple to use, user-friendly. There is no training required. Our clients is able to navigate it themselves easily. Okay, we will now move to my final slide on the challenges faced for our projects and implementation. Okay, three key challenges areas are faced to bring out different solutions. The first one, in terms of security, it is crucial to ensure the encryption, the authentications are updated to provide a secure and protected environment for our clients to access. And if we take a look at the fast moving and increase of business plus regulatory requirements today, it requires our technology to move in a very fast pace to catch up and to meet their requirements. Last but not least, the project management triangle, or we call it triple constraint or the iron triangle, is always the constraint in project management cycle to ensure resources, costs, and time are managed properly and able to meet our goals in delivering the end product. That is all on my sharing. Thank you. And now I would like to hand the session back to Bunting.
So, Kia, thanks for the insightful presentation from your implementation of the CRM system. We know you have just rolled out the system. What has the feedback been from the users, the RMs? What new capabilities have you given them that allows them to serve your customers better?
Okay. Our RMs are really excited when we firstly introduced the system. First of all, from a very manual and old way of handling all the manual forms, 20 over pages form, for instance, the first automation that we done was on the client onboarding, the KYC forms. Maybe we have about 20 over pages in paper, so they used to fill up the paper manually. Yeah. So with the automation, we actually enhance everything via CRM system electronically. So we allow the data capturing, allows a lot of the checks inside the system, which enables them and help them in also review the clients and know the clients better. And this KYC onboarding module also being enhanced and added with a lot of business process improvements to help the RM in terms of the risk profiling, in terms of having all the information, the core activities with the clients, follow up, all this. RMs will have a one-stop at a CRM system so that they can actually serve the clients happily.
Okay, thanks, Sukia. Okay, now I'd like to introduce Albert Fisher, CRM lead for Asia Pacific at Microsoft. Albert will share with us the business drivers and case for multi-channel customer engagement platform, and he'll talk through some of the challenges and opportunities that he has seen working with banks across the region. So, Albert, please.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Albert Fisher, as it says on the slide. I'm going to talk to you about the customer engagement and how it involves in the digital and mobile-enabled world. We've come across many customers that have gone already through core replacements, had their ATM networks in place, and now they're looking to get more sense out of their data they're collecting. So they're looking at client journeys across different channels. They're looking at how data and channels can drive more productivity, understand customer behaviors, and then really upsell and cross-sell into those different channels. So that's what I'll be talking to you about today. So if you can go to the next slide, please. Yeah, in this session, I really want to focus how Microsoft and our Dynamics solutions fit into FSI. I will discuss a little bit on the banks and how their technology is being used to increase revenue and optimize sales processes, but really providing also salespeople with the right data, have a much more tailored discussion with their clients. And I like to focus on new channels like mobility, and I'll touch a little bit on social as well. But first, let me set the stage by looking at some of the business challenges we're trying to address and that we see across the region. So if you can go to the next slide, I'll try to address those. These are the three main challenges that we see within Microsoft across all our products, really. It's really around increasing customer loyalty and retention. It's around increasing profitability and margins, but also looking at increasing operational efficiency, so driving revenue, cost saving, or looking at new revenue models. So if you look at customer loyalty, for us, customer loyalty is really driven from understanding of a customer's needs and wants. So in FSI, it's really around aggregating data from different backend systems to give you that 360-degree view, so our salespeople can upsell and cross-sell from there. If you look at profitability, which is really tightly integrated also with customer loyalty, we see is where financial institutions can offer a much better product, offer the right product at the right time. We always come across being able to tailor a specific group or target a specific group of people and offering them the right product at the right time. And then we look at operational efficiencies where we see, like already was mentioned at the ABN AMRO case, streamlining of business processes from front to back office, which reducing paperwork, reducing time so the salespeople have more time to see more customers, which then drives profitability, operational efficiencies, and drives the margins. So in Microsoft, we address those challenges in nearly all the products that we do. And when we go to market and into the next slide, you can see that all our products that we do, if it's around productivity, communications, collaboration, our business applications, even around identity management and our database and platform solutions, we do those business process optimizations from our office, Link, Skype, or even if we collaborate with Yammer, SharePoint. And we sit there right in the middle around our business ERP and CRM solutions. And we believe that we are one of the few vendors that could provide this suite of solutions to look at an entire business application or business solution, either through on-premise or through a hybrid deployment. And that's really the customer's choice. So if you go to the next slide, and if we take a close look then on our CRM, really focused on multiple business processes and optimization in sales and around marketing and customer service. And that's more of the operational side of CRM, and ABN AMRO just had a good example of using a mobile device to bring sales data to customers, and marketing and customer service data much more operational and much more intimate to customers. But then we also have a very good analytical CRM that provides insight and provide insight around compliance. So basic questions get answered. So how many sales calls do we do a day? What are our sales guys talking about to our clients? Who are our best clients, our most profitable client? Who is the best performing sales unit, branch, etc.? And more importantly, what channel is the most preferred by our customers in which country, and where should we invest? So those kinds of answers would come out of the insight, more on the analytical CRM side. If you then go to our next slide, what we then do with that data, it's very important for financial service organization to monetize data. And really what we mean with monetizing data is how we can filter, slice, and dice that data, for example, to make it much more easier for a person to do their job. So basically in layman's terms, how we make that data more collected and more actionable. So we have actionable data, we can have a much more personal experience, a much more intimate experience, so the salespeople can have a much better conversation with their customers to be able to upsell and cross-sell different kinds of products to customers. And it's not only in sales, but it's also in marketing, it's around service, it's around having the compliance there as well, and driving the increases in sales and margins. And we do that through that middle point there, that 360-degree view of our customers, because giving that entire profile for customers. Data is, of course, one thing, but you also want to drive adoption. And if we go to the next slide, we can see that Microsoft puts a lot of effort into the user experience. Again, you must have all have systems in your organization. If you don't use them, why do you have these systems, and why do you want to do the investment into those systems? So our CRM, we make it accessible through an Outlook browser or a mobile device. And on the mobile side, we see a lot of spin-off at the moment taking place, where we do, like you already saw in the ABN AMRO side, where we do a certain business transformation, a business application where we download, and where we have a certain process around the sales process, for example, and we spin that off out of the traditional CRM model. And then we provide that mobile experience through either a phone or a tablet, and we start measuring that, and we can certainly see a lot of productivity gains from that. So if you go to the next slide, we'll show you a couple of the latest UIs that we see. Now on the left is a modern UI interface around the relationship management application that we have. And you can see then the integration of our rest of our stack, which I spoke about already. So on the left screen there, there's the calendar, which comes from your Exchange. In the middle, you see the customer data. Then there's a column there called latest news, which could be a Bloomberg, or it could be an external news feed around this customer or the role of the person. and some common activities on the right there. And this is all touch interface, and this is one of our latest UIs. And then on the second stream where it says customers, I actually, you know, just imagine I touched on Terry there, and Terry as the customer opened up, and you can see his 360-degree profile around, and we can see that we have a relationship with on the consumer side, but also on the corporate side worth £4.5 million. And then we see next action items that are systems generators, so that's the next column. Oh, somebody went to the next slide. And we see, thank you very much, and we see the multi-channel enablement there. So that's that recent interaction. So we can see what his latest ATM transactions were. We can see that we've sent him a letter. We made an introduction into him via another person. And we can see all this account data. So these are the kind of UIs that we're playing with, very interactive, very easy to use, which drives high adoption. And if we then now go to the next slide, and you kind of gave it away already, is that we really drive productivity and ROI. So we really sit down with customers and say, okay, what are your KPIs? What do you want to achieve? And a lot of those things that were already mentioned about with ABN AMRO, like, you know, we've got a lot of manual paperwork, the integration, there's a lot of process that we need to do. So we can see some really valuable examples of where customers are using our solutions and drive KPI. So, for example, we see 20% increase in cross-sell opportunities. We see a reduction in customer escalation, faster service times, all driving productivity and increasing revenue, which is one of the most important ones when we engage with customers, understanding their business and then driving these valuable KPIs to market. Now, if we go to the next slide, we do that with many of our customers. So you see ABN AMRO already, and this is across board. So we do wealth, we do corporate, we do retail, or we do all three of them. Like Barclays is one of our largest customers, where they have large retail operation in the UK, but then they have private banking here in the rest of the region, and they do a lot of wealth and corporate as well with us. So for all of these, we have templates where we can go to market and show our value to them. So in the next slide, I just want to summarize a little bit. We've great pickup in the region in financial service organization, and we are engaged with customers much more intimately, drive an increase in customer acquisition and retention across the different channels. And really, we combine a lot of technology with people and processes that drives actionable data, so we can have a much more insightful discussion with our clients. And we can provide a much more competitive and product offering to customers using the rest of our technology stack, which drives a lot of productivity. And if you go to the next slide, you know, if you really want to know more, and we can show you these demos, we can drop us an email, or you can send us a note, or you can actually get in touch with Asian Banker, and they can forward you on to us. So with that, I'd like to forward you to hand you over to Boonping, and Boonping probably has a question for me.
yes, Albert. Thanks for your insight and the interesting presentation. Now, one of your slides referred to cloud technology. Of course, is one of those underlying technology. What kinds of reaction do you get when you talk to banks in the region about cloud technology?
So we see a lot of banks wanting to go to cloud because there's a lot of value in cloud, fast deployment, and being able to do that on a very cost-effective way. But there is a lot of hesitation from regulators. MAS and HKNA, for instance, they've come up with new regulations around using cloud and the adoption of cloud. And now we see a lot of early adopters that went into cloud moving on to an on-premise solution. MAS, for instance, really wants the customer data to be staying in Singapore, and HKNA also wants their customer data to be resident in Hong Kong and other countries like Indonesia and Thailand now as well is also starting to get much more stringent on the usage of cloud in financial services and public sector. So we have those things that are happening in the region at the moment.
Okay, thanks, Albert. Okay, now I'd just like to let all our callers know that we're now open for the question and answer session. Now, there are two options that you can ask a question. First, you can write your question down in the chat box at the bottom right corner of the WebEx screen. So if you look at your screen, there is a section where you can type in your question. But what I'd like you to do is first state your name and the name of your organization before you ask the question. Now, the second way that you can ask the question is to press on the hand icon. There's an icon showing a hand image below the list of attendees in the right column of your screen. This will register your intention with us and we'll open the line for you to ask the question. Again, if you can state your name and the name of your organization before you ask your question. Now, while we wait for the callers with their questions, let me ask Sukhya a question. Now, Sukhya, tell us about your new CRM system. Now, specifically in terms of the key features and functionality that allow you to engage customer more seamlessly and holistically and across multiple channels that you have today. Your service model is very RM-based. How does it integrate to your physical and the new virtual channels, including the social media space? Sukhya.
Okay, the key features that we have for our CRM system, as I mentioned earlier, it started from the client onboarding processes, including the KYC, the reviews, the call memos with clients, risk profiling, and accompanying the processes. And on top of it, we actually moved from the so-called regulatory requirements and into business process improvements area, which we use the CRM platform because the Microsoft Dynamics is very well in the way of you can use of a lot of out-of-the-box functionality and features to do configurations. And we actually move to define workflows. For instance, one of the biggest achievements is also handling client instruction via fax and emails. All these are actually integrated with our CRM systems. We actually take in all the instruction and then created a workflow to enable the RMs and the assistant RMs in handling client instructions. So once they receive the so-called the electronic kind of instructions, they can actually, based on the design, the templates, and wherever to fill in a minimum information, and each the system will also have the matrices and as well as the control and checks built in. And approval flow is also together inside the system itself. And all these, will once it's approved, will flow back to our operations team at the, for the handling and also help the customer to complete their request. So as a whole, it increases the turnaround time and it makes our customer happy in that sense. Yeah. So for the how do we actually engage and enlarge more in a multiple channel perspective, yes, we have many plans in the pipeline. We could extend our CRM landscape in terms of building in more workflow-driven automation. We can also enable the e-marketing survey and using whatever e-events, wherever that is made available via CRM. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Gail. We have a caller who has registered interest to ask a question, so we'll open the line for him now. You can state your name and the name of your organization. Yes, you can speak now. Okay. We have a question here from the caller. He's typed it in. Now, how easy is it for banks to adopt this the CRM technology using their current system and infrastructure? Here specifically, I think is directed at Microsoft. Albert, if you could answer that question, thanks.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So it really depends how big your organization is and how many people. But you know, we can. For a certain department, we can start very quickly. And for larger organizations like we've done at ABM, where those projects are much larger for us, and they're much more complex. also depending on the data sizes that you may have and the business processes that you want to automate. And we always come back to you know, it's kind of, you know, we really want to look at your KPIs and what you want the business, what the business you would like to drive and what automation you like to drive. And from there, we can actually come up with a solution for you. So it, hopefully that answers the question a little bit. But we've done projects within months, but we've also done projects that take much longer than that, depending on the organizational size and complexity.
Okay. Now another question. I think both for Sukia and I guess for all the panelists as well, what are the key success factors for the implementation of a multi-channel CRM platform? Sukia, perhaps you can, yeah, from a bank perspective.
I would like to share, for us, we are using Scrum method in terms of working very closely and directly with our prospective user groups. Unlike the old method of way which we ask business what is the requirements they want and takes few months to develop a document or whatever. So what we have done is that we have a team in the bank itself. It's a link between the IT department as well as the business. This team of me is constantly interacting with the key users to define and to design the system together. So once we have the requirements, quickly we also liaise with the IT and vendor to get back on the prototype. And once this prototype is actually released, we get more feedback. We engage users a lot to get the feedback and we fine-tune for improvements. And I would say that this Scrum method is really very fast. It's faster, involved, and takes a lot of it takes the in users' real needs rather than the design is driven due to technical convenience. Yeah, and secondly, we also built a working methodology within the bank to deliver the project. For instance, the customization by country, the needs and the focus area that we can help the user in getting them on board to start using the system. One thing to take note is that a successful implementation doesn't mean to guarantee a successful utilization. The most important thing is the utilization and the effectiveness of the implementation. The focus is to train the user, really use it and enable them to have their processes integrate into the new system.
Okay. Albert, do you have a perspective to share on this before we move to the next question?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting question, and there are new channels coming up all the time. So there's now the social channel, and banks are now looking at how we can actually engage with the social channel and people on the on that channel. So it's a very important question that needs to be, and like ABNM is already doing, they're already measuring and monitoring what the best channel is and how customers are actually, what the customer journey is across that channel. So yeah, the engagement model and the target group that you want to go after is also very important. So if your channel, if your customer group and your cohort is really like older people that still want to go to the branch, then that channel is very important to you. If you say my customer is the new youth, then you know, social becomes very important. It should be really customer driven, and driving that productivity in that channel is one of the most important things to keep measuring and monitoring.
Okay, now we have a question from Ms. Su Fang Lam. Do you see innovation in the corporate banking space, and where are the opportunities you see today? I know recently we had our summit event in Jakarta, and a number of banks are moving their transaction corporate internet banking platform using mobile technology. So one example was the State Bank of India, and another was Maybank. So there are various innovation happening in the corporate banking space as well, with the international banks as well, where they are introducing app application on for some of the transaction banking solutions. So Sukia or Carol, would you like to weigh in on that question? And
yes,
Albert as well.
I was just going to refer back. In my presentation, I talked about Alliance Bank in Malaysia. And they put in a new CRM system that combined customer analytics. And that was specifically, well, I guess it wasn't such corporate, it was the small and SME market. But I think the principle can be carried forward. The feeds they were getting in, helped them target. They were basically able to join the dots on the data. And as it went in, to the CRM system, they could they knew mobile phone numbers, etc., and could push out targeted offers and good guiding information back to the companies.
Albert, do you see any in the corporate banking space today? Yep.
Yeah. So we've done projects where we. And that's very recent, where the customer or the bank wants to understand the corporate much more in much more depth. So really understanding if what the buying relationship and the selling relationship on that corporate is, but also understanding who owns that corporate and do they have a retail relationship with us? Do they have a wealth relationship with the ownership of that that corporation? So there's a lot of innovation taking place, and it's really around understanding the customer in much more depth. And that goes to like a buying and selling relationship. So who are they buying from and selling to? And then understanding the ownership in those corporates and being able to cross-sell and upsell from there. So we've seen a lot of that. And then, all the mobility comes into place and the different channels falls into place as well. But it's really around understanding the corporates and what they're doing, how they're buying and selling, and how the organization is structured, and getting that picture into mind. Then we've got other ones that they really set up strategies around, okay, we want to have discussions with these companies and drive sales and that more of a sales motion to understand the customer and sell in those different channels.
Thanks, Albert. Now we have a question from Coogan from Manhattan National Bank out in Sri Lanka. I guess this question is directed at Sukhya. How to win the heart of the customers using your multi-channels? And he asked specifically for success stories. So I guess in terms of in a tangible, measurable way, since the implementation of your CRM, any tangible results that you can share?
Okay, in terms of our CRM system, for instance, as I just shared with you, one of our business process was improved in taking payment instructions. Okay, the old way of us handling the payment instruction is quite manual via people flow, but with the CRM system, we have the BPI module, which is configured, the workflow itself. So from the moment the instructions come into the system, it can check whether you can have this fast indemnity for the client, immediately do a call back and this fault inside the system and approval is done. And this approval will actually flow directly to the payment receipt department. And this transaction itself can be just closed in within maybe 20, 30 minutes. So if we're talking about the efficiency, the client feels very, very happy and they're really happy with what we can respond to them. Like we can have our RM also send a copy of the SWIFT messages, a copy for the SWIFT NT103 to them. Yeah.
Okay, so just a follow-up question to that. Now, from a private banking perspective, what are the key considerations that you look at when you implement your customer engagement strategy?
Okay, of course we have to look at the cost, the time, the robustness, and the scalability and the sustainability of the CRM platform that we've chosen. Yeah, and for Microsoft CRM, it is really help us because it is having a very good configurations and configurable kind of a workflow, come very good database to help us to enhance the way our RMs want to serve the clients. So it is actually moving from the way of having a lot of coding, heavy coding into configurations. So it's a very simple maintenance perspective as well.
Okay, now Carol, I'd like to ask you this question. Based on what you have observed from the submissions, and also I understand you've been interviewing quite a lot of banks as part of the process of the evaluation of their submission, what are the processes and framework that you see banks putting in place to ensure that they meet their customer engagement goals that they have set at the beginning of the project?
This actually can be quite a challenge for many of the banks, in that they know they've got an awful lot of information and data coming in. So, you know, it is a question of, you know, joining the dots and using that, linking that information, you know, back through into a CRM system where you're interacting with the customer. I think DBS has actually looked at this in quite a comprehensive way, and they, I understand, have come up with a framework that sort of works around three things. I'm talking about the whole sort of how you think about the information here. You know, protect, guide, and inform. So, you know, quietly in the background, they've got technologies that are to, you know, protecting the customer information, for example, when they use the ATM or, you know, their credit cards. But equally, you know, they can then start to use the information they're getting. They call this the guide part. And this is where they try to help people make choices around the products and services that, you know, DBS have available for them. You know, so they could, for example, if a customer, you know, from Hong Kong flew into Singapore, for example, you know, DBS would know this if that customer went to use an ATM, and they could send an SMS to that customer, you know, personalized message, welcoming them to Singapore, and, you know, perhaps with a targeted offer of some sort. But I think where they really are beginning to move things forward is in this third phase they call inform. And that's really about helping people to know what's going on. They can know that there is a problem, you know, before it really starts to frustrate the customer. And again, the example here would be around the ATM. I mean, I think there are many instances where an ATM card gets swallowed, perhaps the pin's been put in too many times, for example, and that's very frustrating for a customer, and it usually results in a call to a call center. But the way, you know, DBS is setting this up now, you know, they can tell if that card's been swallowed, and they can send a message immediately to the customer contact center, and that customer contact center then can, you know, send a message back to the customer saying, yes, we know this has just happened, this is what we're going to do about it. So much more proactive, and really, you know, does be, you know, in this sense, you know, DBS really does become, you know, quite engaged with their customer. So I think that's probably the best example that we have seen.
Right. Thanks, Carol. Okay. Now, it's been said that some of the best practices in customer engagement today are coming from other industry, from other category, from the e-commerce player, from the telcos. I would like to ask three of our panelists, right? From your personal perspective, can you share with us what can banks learn from these other industries? Perhaps with Sukhya, starting.
Yeah, for me, I definitely agree that we can learn a lot. Even though within the banking industry as well as outside banking industry. For me, one good example is from the hotel industry. For instance, that when I last visit, I have a business trip to one of the hotels. During my revisit, it is very amazed and very happy that the staff could just recognize me, not only from the front desk perspective. Even though in the restaurant, they'll greet us like, "Miss Han, welcome back." So I would say that all these digital technology actually help in also customer services, yeah, directly.
Thanks, Sukhya. Carol?
Well, I guess the retail industries, you know, have a lot that they perhaps can teach us. For example, you know, a lot of retail companies will, you know, have their own store cards, and Marks & Spencer, I believe, does in many countries. And, you know, they can, you know, send out SMSs with timely targeted offers. Or another example I've heard is actually of a car retailer where a customer's gone in, you know, obviously a good customer, and on their system they even knew the name of this person's dog, which, you know, made him feel, you know, very, they knew, really related to him very well.
And this seems to all tie in with that, what you mentioned earlier, the informed part of it.
Indeed, yes, indeed. You know, it really makes you feel as though that, you know, you're being treated as an individual. You know, that company knows who you are and what you're about, and are responding to your needs.
Albert, okay, let you have a go at it. And then we'll have our final question for the day.
Yeah, so we've come across in the casino industry where they're trying to identify high rollers in the club, and identifying them through big data and facial recognition as well. So being able to have a big data and to be able to say, okay, this person has been at this table and that table, and be able to offer them free vouchers or either a stay in the hotel for free. There's a lot of things happening at the moment around facial recognition, big data, and being able to bring data back into really actionable items. So those industries are very proactive. But even banks I've seen in Europe now also doing a lot of things around brands of the future, where they integrate a lot of the Bing technologies or facial recognition, where they can see, well, this is a male or a female already, and then say, and being able to preempt certain products already for those kinds of cohorts or those kinds of people. So there's a lot of things happening at the moment around facial recognition, which people seem to like, and it's coming into, it's intruding really into the household as well, with the appliances now in every house.
Okay, thanks, Albert. This session is to last 1 hour, so now we are kind of running out of time, but I'll just ask one final question and we'll wrap up. Now, especially in the mobile area, now we have location-based as well as real-time capabilities that can be given to banks at their fingertips. Now, in engaging their customers, what are some of the things that you have seen in the banking industry? How important are location-based and real-time capabilities? Carol, maybe you have a go at it, and then Albert, very briefly. And we'll
okay.
Wrap up.
Well, I think I told you an example earlier around ATMs. You know, as I say, if a customer flies in from another country, uses an ATM, you know, a greeting or an offer can be sent. A geo-based location. I'm just sort of off the fly. I'm just trying to think of one. I'm afraid I'm slightly stumped there. Well, map reading. Oh, locating branches is quite a good one. You know, there's often apps available that you can locate your bank branch very easily, or where the nearest ATM is. It can be very convenient.
Well, we've seen also identification of customers in certain locations, and understanding the pattern where they buy products and where they purchase products. So there's a lot of things happening there at the moment as well. And then the real time people, and it comes back to that the multi-channel and then the openness of the processes, where people really want an instant answer. It's not like I'm going to wait a couple of days. You really want to have that instant on. People are now instantly on, and they want instant response. So that's part of that whole social capability and also the mobility. People are mobile. They want to have an instant answer, and they want to know, yeah, I'm here, and you can help me right away. So that's part of the entire equation around multi-channel, and then mobility playing a huge part in that.
Okay, thanks, Albert. So on that note, we will wrap up today's session. Just let me summarize on the key points. We hear from Carol, Sukia, and Albert that the new digital and mobile enabled world is changing the game. On that last point about mobility and instant on, where customers are looking to fulfill their requirements and their needs on the spot anytime, and the new devices in terms of smartphones, tablets are allowing service providers to do that. So for banks, it's no longer just about helping customers interact with them using the right channel mix, but finding ways to be where the customers are at their point of need and where they prefer to interact and how they want to interact. So on that note, we would like to thank all our speakers and presenters for their insight today. Thanks to Carol, Sukia, and Albert. A recording of this session will be made available on the Asian Banker website. So do visit the website. Now, a lot of the discussion that we have will also be covered in the latest Asian Banker publication, which is dedicated to the Excellence Program. So some of these topics will be covered, and it will be very soon available on our website as well, the latest Asian Banker publication. Now, we would like to thank everyone who's called in this afternoon. Now, if you have any feedback or you have any topic that you would like the Asian Banker to address in our forthcoming teleconsultation, do drop us an email at our website. Or you can email editor@theasianbanker.com. We would like to hear from you. So on that note, until the next event, we wish all of you a good day.